Melkin, are you ready?
Yes, Mr. President.
Right. Okay. It's June 14, 2018, and called regular board meeting of the Roland Unified School District of Education to order. It is now
Right here.
4:33. Roll call, please, Dr. Mitchell.
Yes, Lynn Ebenkamp.
Here.
Angelina Pride.
Here.
David Malkin.
Present.
Donna Friedman.
Here.
Carrie Chen.
Here.
All board members are present. President or present.
All right. There are changes. Anything in the poll? Any change on agenda?
There's one staff change I'd like to bring to your attention. So under discussion action, item K, under discussion action, it's the contract agreement between the Roland Unified School District and NIC Partners. The dollar amount needs to be adjusted. The dollar amount should read, the not-to-exceed amount has been revised from $1,106,732 to not-to-exceed $1.2 million. And the reason is that we needed to add the price point for conduit. So that item K is a not-to-exceed amount of 1.2.
Okay. So anything else? Nothing? Okay. So I need a motion for with the agenda with the change of item K, change dollar amount to 1.2 million.
Right. I'll move.
Second.
Angelina second, and Donald Freeman first. All favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, so are there any comments in closed session?
None have been received.
So then we recess to closed session at 4:35. Okay, let's go. Let's move.
I sit there waiting, are you?
Miami. 6K there is not 6K here. Yeah, well, it's because she had the guy. It's because she had the guy. Yeah, this is. So I, as these sum up, I have my notes on the Friday level.
You have two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to test it? Or no, you can't.
I guess.
Okay.
No, I have your memo.
Okay. Back check. Okay. Got it. Okay. Perfect. Good. Thanks.
Okay. Good evening. We have returned to open session at 6:10. Little flex salute. This John Stone, is he here? Hi, John. Would you lead us?
Place your right hand over your heart. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, John. Closed session report.
Nothing. There's nothing to report out from closed session.
Okay, next item is board recognition. I'm going to turn this to Dr. Mitchell.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So this evening, we have our students who have had perfect attendance. And so if I could have the board step down, and we'll have the opportunities to introduce these students who are extremely healthy, as they have not missed any days of school. Right.
Good evening, board members and Dr. Mitchell and our friends and community members. This truly, as Dr. Mitchell said, you've got to be healthy, but it's probably the hardest award and recognition to get. That means you've avoided every germ. You've made sure to take your vitamins, eat your Wheaties, and wash your hands regularly. So that's a great thing. So we have 10 students, and some of the students are going to be recognized right now for having perfect attendance for grades kindergarten through 6th, and then kindergarten through 8th, and then the big one, kindergarten through 12th grade. That is truly a feat. So beginning with our students from kindergarten through 6th grade, representing Rorimer, Mr. Brian Wynn. Come on down. Our next student from Roland Elementary, Megan Jana Vargas. We have a cheetah from Yorbita. They may be on vacation, but I'll say the name anyways. Jahida Ramirez. That's okay. You only need to be present for the school days. Today is not a school day. From Oswalt, Ariane Alog. And these are elementary students. Congratulations. We have four students from kindergarten through eighth grade to be recognized from Alvarado. Miss Angela Yu, are you here? We can still clap for her. From Giano, Clarissa Alvarez. From Telesis, Martin Gonzalez. Also from Telesis, Elvin Nguyen. I see good health runs in the family. And here are our students from kindergarten through eighth grade who've had perfect attendance. And the best hand washers are coming up next. Our students who've had perfect attendance from kindergarten all the way to their senior year. We have two. They're both from Roland High School. Please welcome up Miss Emily Ong. And Jason Koo. All right, congratulations.
And I would like to recognize and thank Association of Roulette Administrators for providing refreshments in this evening. Thank you. The next item, John Stoneman, President of Association of Roulette Administrators, along with incoming officers, Dr. Mangia and Dr. Ocha, will provide a brief report highlighting their organizations. John?
Good evening, members of the board, Dr. Mitchell, cabinet, and guests. I'm John Stoneman, president of the...
All right. We start over?
No, we're good.
All right. I'm John Stoneman, president of the Association for Roland Administrators, or ARA. ARA is a professional and social organization that supports administrators within the Roland Unified School District. Our focus is to improve our practice so we can better serve our students, teachers, and community. And I'm completing my role as president of ARA, but I'm pleased to introduce our future president, Dr. Sally Mungia. ARA is in very good hands for the coming year. This year, ARA raised money through a fundraiser to increase our annual scholarships. In total, ARA gave more than $2,000 to our students. We annually sponsor every student succeeding and the annual oratory contest. This year, Kayla Park from Roland High School represented RUSD at the annual AXA Awards Ceremony. It is the same award ceremony that we recognize many of our own leaders, including Dr. Mitchell, as Regional Leaders of the Year. We also celebrated Rocky Better as California Administrator of the Year for Adult Education. I would like to thank the members of the board, Dr. Mitchell, and Cabinet for your continued support of ARA and our relationship with AXA. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Okay, Superintendent report, Dr. Mitchell.
Great, thank you very much. So this evening, it's my pleasure to introduce the community as well as our board, although you've had a chance for a quick meet and greet with some new employees or familiar employees in new positions. So first, I would like to welcome Shoshana Uden. She has been selected as our Director of Human Resources. Ms. Uden joins the Roland Unified School District from Westminster, where she's currently the Director of Human Resources. She directs the recruitment and selection process for both classified and certificate personnel and collaborates closely with employee unions. So welcome, Shoshana. Would you like to come and say a few words for us?
I'd like to thank the board, Dr. Mitchell, as well as the rest of Cabinet for this great opportunity. And I'd also let you know that I'm really excited to be part of the Roland community. So thank you.
Thank you. A familiar face, we have Dr. Kevin Despard, who's been selected as our Director of Student Services. As you know, Dr. Despard is the current principal for about 15 more days or so of Oswald Academy. He's been there since 2010. Before joining Roland, he was a dean of student services and assistant principal at West Covina High School, also the coordinator of assessment and educational technology in West Covina Unified School District. So welcome, Kevin, to your new position.
Thank you very much. I would like to thank Dr. Mitchell and Cabinet as well as the school board. Thank you for all your support the last 8 years in my role as principal. I'm looking forward to the next challenge and supporting our families and students at Roland Unified in my new role.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin.
I'd also like to share that Dr. Celia Mungia, who I saw her peek here and peek around, she is moving positions within our district. So she's currently the principal at Northam Elementary, and she will be starting in the fall as the principal of Rorimer Elementary School. So congratulations, Celia, on that change. Absolutely. We also have a new assistant superintendent. I'm going to hold on that introduction until the board has the opportunity to take formal action to approve her contract during our discussion action. I would like to share about our class of 2018. And so this June, we had the opportunity to shake many, many students' hands. We had 1,041 students graduate from the Roland Unified School District and accept their diploma. And from those students, they earned over $5 million in grants and scholarships to continue to further their education and their learning. So that I shared with our principals today when I met with them that, sometimes our high schools take the glory of that, but it really is it's an entire organization that works our youngest learners at TK all the way up through their high school graduation to support their learning and achievement. So 1,041 new diplomas from the Roland Unified School District are out and about in our community, and we wish our graduates the very, very best of luck. I would also like to share there's a press release that just went out actually today that our district is being recognized as one of 11 visionary school districts in the nation. We have been selected to present at the annual Model Schools Conference in Orlando, Florida at the end of this month. So I am pleased to be representing our district as we work on scaling innovation. So we were selected as a district that is visionary in our work for scaling innovation. So I am pleased to be there, and Dr. Tricia Colella will be joining me as well as we present the work of our district but there are about 5,000 attendees or so at this particular conference. And so it's quite an opportunity as a district to be selected as, like I said, just one of 11 in the nation. So we will be in Orlando a little later this month touting the great things about the Roland Unified School District. Thank you.
Right. Okay. Right. Okay. Next, I'm Student Bank Oversight, and we have a report by a member of the Citizen Bank Oversight Committee, Dr. Mitchell.
Perfect. So this evening, Natalie Moreno is here as the chair of our CBOC to present some information in the annual report on the work of our construction and bond projects and the overall work of our CBOC. So thank you, Ms. Moreno, for being here tonight.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Last meeting in May, we did not have quorum, so insight was sought from all the members individually. We may come back with a revised one, but this is how it stands at the moment. The Roland Unified School District was successful at elections conducted on June 6, 2006, in obtaining authorization from the district's voters to issue up to $118 million of the district's general obligation bonds, and on November 6, 2012, authorizing the district to issue up to $158 million in general obligation bonds. The 2006 and 2012 bond measures shall collectively be referred to as Measure R. The elections were conducted pursuant to Article 8A, Section 1, Subdivision B3 of the California Constitution, which allows a 55% majority to pass the bond, also known as Prop 39. Pursuant to Section 15278 of the Education Code, the district is now obligated to establish an independent citizens oversight committee in order to satisfy the accountability requirements of Prop 39. At this time, we are full with 7 members on the Citizens Bond Oversight Committee, representing PTA and parent organizations as myself, Natalie Moreno, and Wendy Zong. The Seniors Associate Organization is being represented by Gerald Casterline, who was approved last board meeting. We have a business community owner, Mr. Jay Chung, Taxpayers Organization Representative Denise Jackson, and community members Nat Ornelas and a new member, Yvette Romo. Purpose of the annual report. Pursuant to the bylaws of the CBOC, the committee is charged with the responsibility to prepare regular reports in regards to its activities. The annual report shall include 2 things. 1, a statement indicating whether or not the district is in compliance with the requirements of Article 8A, Section 1B3 of the California Constitution, and also a summary of the committee's proceeds and activities from the previous year. This year, we have gone to where agendas of the regularly scheduled meetings continue to include monthly updates related to construction issues, project process, completion, and financial updates to provide greater transparency and information to the Citizens Bond Oversight Committee and the public. The CBOC attended the grand opening of the Language Arts Building at Roland High School this past year. There were many parents and also local government officials in attendance. The CBOC regularly meets with the construction manager from Ledesda Meyer on various phasing plans, construction updates, budgetary matters of the Roland High project. At every meeting, we've been provided updates on the construction, planning so that any potential issues that could arise be dealt with before it becomes a financial liability. They have always answered our questions, explained things thoroughly when clarification is needed. Whenever we have asked for additional reporting or information, they've always given it to us in a timely manner. The accountants of Nigro sought the bond oversight's input on the 2016-2017 bond audit by interviewing the past committee chair. The CBOC is secure in the knowledge that the input from the CBOC will be continued to be used to determine the parameters of the audit for the bond. And I'm meeting with them next week. The CBOC has had training to assist members in becoming more knowledgeable of what CBOC does, and it will help us better serve the community and explain things. The committee continues to use the customized financial reporting features of the Colby Financial Reporting System, and these customized reports are provided to us at every meeting. This year, a few of us members from the CBOC attended the 7th annual CalBOC conference in Sacramento. The CBOC, again, was able to meet with various school districts and other citizen bond oversight committees. And we have found this to be a beneficial training and growth for us as Roland Unified CBOC members. This year's subject to the conference included what a financial report should include and look like. And I'm so happy to say, what we get and what we've been working with is so much more than most of the school districts in California. We do have one recommendation so far. As we have new members on, we would like some more training for the new members to catch them up and responsibilities and what's going on around the district. So in conclusion, based on the information provided to the CBOC, the district is in compliance with requirements of Article 8, Section A, 1B3 of the California Constitution. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, I just wanted to make a comment. First of all, Mrs. Moreno, thank you very much for your hard work on the CBOC committee. I know that there has been a lot of tough times over the last year or so, and I know that you guys have taken a lot of stress from individuals who don't understand the CBOC, don't see the information that you get, and just make assumptions and just like to throw out rhetoric that's not true. And I thank you for sticking in there, is, you know, despite all of this, we greatly appreciate it. I also want to thank you for mentioning the professional development that's been offered to the CBOC members to make sure that you guys are trained and up to date on all of the rules and regulations and the DAF software systems and Colby and using all of that to make sure that we are in compliance and that you guys aren't just relying on outside rhetoric from individuals, but you guys are doing your job and that you guys take your job seriously. So again, thank you. I appreciate your hanging in there and just keep doing what you're doing. And we know that you guys are doing a good job and you guys know that you're doing a good job and you are appreciated.
I'd just like to add also that as the liaison between the board and your committee, what's really been nice to see is over a period of a couple of years how the change has been gradual and has been continual. And it's been on both sides, on our side, meaning the school district side, and on the bond committee side. We're learning how to provide better information to you based on what you need, and you're learning how to ask for the information that you need. So it's been a joint growth, and it's really been nice to see that. And you guys asked the difficult questions at the meeting. I mean, you're not just, you know, rubber stamping things, and that's really nice to see also. And most importantly, you're giving of your time during the weekday night when you can be at home with your family, and we really appreciate that. Is there anybody else from the Bond Oversight Committee here?
I know.
The only one? Okay. Well, express our thanks from the board to them for their time that they give to the district to make our district the best in the area. Thank you.
I want to say thank you, too, to you and to your whole committee, because I know it's not easy. But Dr. Mitchell, are there local teaching sessions around for that new members can get?
I do know that that's something that Alex Flores is looking into to see. We're not immediately familiar other than some training that some of the law firms provide around the Brown Act as well as around the purpose of the CBOC. And so we have been working with Huff's office as well so that we can see if we can provide some information and some training, particularly for the new members. Yes.
One of the things
can you come to the podium, to the mic? Sorry, Natalie.
CALBOC has been a wonderful reference, and one of the things that was discussed at this past conference is switching it so it's not always in Sacramento. So they're not there yet, but the goal for them is to have it up in Sacramento 1 year, down here in Southern California, and go back and forth. Because it is, especially for a lot of the smaller school districts, they don't necessarily have the resources to travel.
Actually, I just want to add to what I said. I did go to the conference this year with Natalie, and I think it's very worthwhile for our members to hear what's going on and be able to ask their questions. There's a lot on the website that they can learn to help catch them up. So thank you again.
I just want to ditto what they said. Thank you so much for volunteering. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you, Natalie. Thank you, the rest of your your committee, and and it's not an easy job. It's under a lot of pressures. Yeah, thank you. Okay, next time, before going to the next item, and the perfect attendance students, it's a summer. It's a, I don't then you have no homework, but there are a lot of things to do. So if you like, you may go home and send me the money. Yeah, and you're welcome to stay. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
We didn't want you to think you needed to wait for the bell to ring to be excused. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to be respectful of your time and the fact that it is also the start of summer for you.
Yeah, so you're welcome to stay with us today. But yeah, you're free to go. Yeah. Uh-huh. All right. Okay, next item is the written request. Any request? Okay, so I need to read this. Okay, remarks are limited to 3 minutes unless extended further or limited by vote of the board. A maximum of 20 minutes unless extended by the board is allocated to each subject discussed. Ordinarily, board members will not respond to presentations and no action can be taken. However, the board may give direction to staff following a presentation. So first speaker is Mr. Roy Humphreys. Please come to the podium.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you for all the good things you do. And as again, we're calling for Denise Jackman as an embarrassment to the district and must resign immediately from the Bond Oversight Committee. We note that Mr. Shea Lohman last week on the June 5th there, not biting the hand to feed you, noted that the teachers' union supports the reelection of Lynn Ebenkamp, Angelina Jolie, Pride, and Carrie Chen. And I say, really? Then Mr. Lohman, in effect, is stating that as educators of our children, the teachers believe that transparency is a buzzword. That transparency has no place in the core values of this district. Note the Oswald Academy $50 million no toilets debacle. That video recording of the district public meetings has no place in the 21st century as a responsibility to the stakeholders. That the superintendent, in course with board president at that time, Angelina Pride, could and did refuse to do as instructed, as member David Malcolm protested. That the superintendent can bully the personnel commission director. And last but not least, the hijacking of the Bond Oversight Committee by the administration, in course with board members David Malcolm and Lynn Ebenkamp in attendance. And you can see all this on the video on my YouTube channel if you doubt anything that I have to say. And to that point, character counts. What is the greater issue is that the quality of character of these young people, making A's and winning athletic events is only one side of the coin of life. The Gang of Three, thank you for your service, but now we need leadership that will take us to the next level, where integrity and the quality of character are enduring assets of one's education. And we must remember that all that glitters is not gold. And I'll also ask why my picture isn't up here yet. Also, the what was given up as the lighting situation for the around the school district here was an abysmal presentation. And if you want to know how it's supposed to be done, and as I gave Mr. Malcolm there, I did the only lighting district acquisition in Roland Heights in over 30 years. And as to Ms. Pride's comment about the Bond Oversight Committee, maybe that's why retired chairman Harry Peterson said the only thing that's going to straighten out this district is a grand jury. Thank you.
Shea Lohman, please.
Good evening. Personal mention tonight, so thank you. Good evening, board, our new hires. The June Board of Education meeting is always an exciting time of reflection as well as preparation for the year ahead. Last month, Mr. Flores showed us the budget cycle. That cycle shows that we are constantly reviewing the impact of past budgets while at the same time preparing upcoming budgets. As educators, we do the same thing. Hundreds of educators across our district are spending the first days of our students' summer break collaborating with their colleagues about student achievement from the past year and at the same time preparing shifts in their curriculum and for shifts in teaching methods for the upcoming school year. Anyone says that the best part about being a teacher is the summer break obviously has not been a teacher in recent years. Those that say that also don't know that the best part about teaching is getting to see the constant growth and advancement of the students that we are fortunate to teach every day. The 2017-18 school year brought a lot of growth and advancement for our students, as well as continued growth for our organizations. The association and management continue to work to maintain a good relationship that benefits all stakeholders involved. This year, we successfully negotiated a labor contract extension, came to agreements on various memorandums of understanding, collaborated on safety improvements on our campuses, and began a discussion on how to better manage student behavior problems. As we look towards the 2018-2019 school year, we look forward to continuing these areas of growth. I anticipate that in the upcoming year that we will continue to collaborate around student behavior. It is essential that all students have access to a high-quality education, and that chronically disruptive students should not be allowed to negatively impact the educational environment for well-behaved students. In addition, next winter will begin to negotiation cycle again. As with the cycle this year, I look forward to a productive venture that will continually improve the services we offer our community. I want to thank you and congratulate you on a fantastic school year, and we are well on our way to being the best school district in California. Thank you.
Okay, next time is discussion item. Cabinet motion and the second approve the Roland Unified School District LCAP for 2018 and 2019 and the 2019-2020 school year. I need a motion.
I move to approve.
I'll second.
And Donna second. Discussion? Any comment? Yeah. Janina?
Just one comment, and I said it last year during Dr. Huff's presentation, but I want to say it again, is that we really appreciated the hard work that went into the LCAP. It's a big, huge process. It's almost like a mini WASC every year. So, again, it was a phenomenal document. I love the electronic version, and thank you all for your hard work, all of you that put in hard work for that.
Donna, you want to say? Any more discussion? If we say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Next item. I need a motion and the second to receive the adopted Roland Unified School District budget for 2017-18 fiscal year.
I'll move.
Donna, move.
I'm going to correct that item. It's the 18-19.
Oh, 18-19. So
it's the 18-19 budget. Sorry.
Sorry. Okay. That's already right.
That's right. I think we corrected it there.
Okay,
yeah.
Let me read one more time. I need a motion and the second to receive the Roland Unified School District budget for 2018 and 19 fiscal year.
I'll move.
Donna, move.
Second.
Antonina, second. Discussion?
Again, just like with the LCAP. Yeah. And Mr. Lohman mentioned it in his comments as well, is that the budget presentation was excellent. Lots of hard work. Thank you to all the staff that put in a lot of effort to make that happen. And again, I know we've all said it before, members here on the board, Mr. Lohman, that the budget presentations we received before Mr. Flores arrived were no comparison to what we receive now. So we do appreciate the transparency. I appreciate that. So just want to put that on record.
I'd also like to say that Mr. Flores sends his regrets for not being able to be here. It was quite unusual, and he was very uncomfortable with it. But there was a family obligation. He was needed to be with his son this evening. And so we all have our family responsibilities. So he appreciates you understanding that.
Mm-hmm. So Dr. Mitchell, please pass our appreciation.
I certainly will.
I just wanted to also say, when I first got on the board, I think one of the hardest concepts was the budget. Because it's so detailed, and there's so many pages, and so many this and that, and you see one thing here, and you find out, oh, no, it's over here, too. So this staff has gone overboard to help us be better board members in understanding the budget, and they're always available to us when we need to meet with them and have questions. So thank you.
Okay. Donna?
I also want to thank Mr. Flores and his team. I know Aubrey is here. Is there anybody else here that was on that team that we could see? And thank you personally. Just you, Aubrey? Well, thank you. We appreciate all your... Yeah, yeah, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. Yes, you are. How come you didn't say anything?
All right. All right. Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, next item. You need a motion and a second to receive discussion and adopt the district direction and a focus area for 2018-2019 school year.
I so move.
Lynn, and Donna, a second, and discussion, any comments?
I just have one question. I just want this for clarity. Focus area 2.1.
Yes.
Increased student graduation rate, including significant subgroups. Would the special ed be one of those significant subgroups?
Yes, it would. I know that was an interest of the board.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and as the district as a whole.
Any more questions?
No, that's it.
No off. Favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Look at the next item. I need a motion and a second to adopt Los Angeles County Office of Education plan for expelled students.
I'll move.
Donna, move.
Second.
Angelina, second. Any discussion, comments? All favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. The next item is the motion and the second to approve the contract for employment of Maddie Zamora, Assistant Superintendent of Education Services.
I'll move.
Before we have a motion and a second, there's an item that we're legally compliant to read before we take a motion on this.
Right. This is the before they're taking the final action on the employment agreement for the local agency executive or salary or benefit increase for a current local agency executive, the board must state in public session. So, pursuant to Government Code Section 454953, Subdivision C3, the board provides this oral summary of the salary and or fringe benefit recommendation for the following local agency executive. Assistant Superintendent Education Services, Maddie Zamora, term of contract, July 1st, 2018 to June 30th, 2021. Annual salary, $182,774. Elements of the compensation include reimbursement of actual and necessary expenses, including cell phone incurred by her within the scope of employment and subject to a satisfactory evaluation for the immediate preceding year and annual step advancement of not less than 3%.
Now
need a motion.
I'll move.
Donna, move.
Second.
Angelina, second. Discussion, questions, comments? In favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
If I could take the liberty to introduce Maddie Zamora to our board and to the public. Welcome to the Roland Unified School District. We're very pleased to have you aboard.
Thank you. I'd like to take a moment and thank the Board of Education, Dr. Mitchell, Cabinet, and everyone that was part of the process. I'm very excited to come on board and be able to serve the students of Roland, the staff, and the community. This is a great place to be, and I want to be part of that greatness that we're moving forward with. So thank you so much. Very excited to be part of the community. Thank you.
Welcome and congratulations. Okay, next item. Need the motion and a second to approve the contract agreement between Roland Unified School District and a $1 million project.
I'll move.
Donna, move.
Second.
Angelina, second. Questions, comments?
I have a... this project is just fabulous. You know, it really creates a level playing field for all of our students regarding the socioeconomic abilities to have internet capability at home and accessing data and information. And I just think this is going to be a big help in helping students all be able to achieve at a higher level. And whoever came up with this idea, I don't know who came up with it, but... it's just great. I really appreciate the work that went behind to obtaining this, this funding.
I'd like to recognize Dr. Brian Huff, because we applied as a district. We applied for this grant last year, and we were not awarded. And he was extremely persistent and persevered through and did an excellent job. So thank you for not accepting the first no as a solid no and pushing that envelope to the benefit of our students. So thank you, Dr. Huff.
Donna?
And it's a four-year term, which is, like, outstanding way to go.
I very much agree with that, because as you go to the tech nights at the schools, it's not that the kids don't have computers. It's the Internet they don't have access to, so they can't utilize the programs. So this will really get that part to them. We've been looking for ways to see if some of the cities would put more in the parks and this, that, and the other. But this really solves the individual problems we're having, and I know it'll be a success.
And that will make a difference. Many families send the kids for the to learn. Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Ho. Any more questions? All favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I need the motion and the second to approve the requests from the Nogales High School Noble Regiment to travel and participate in a London New Year's New Year's Day parade in London, England, December 27, 2019, January 2nd, 2020.
I so move.
Donna, second. Questions, comments?
I have some questions. I thought we were going to have some people.
We do. So I'd like to ask if Yusuf Nasouf, the principal at Nogales High School, and Brad Pollock, the band director from Nogales High School, could step forward in case the board has questions. Yeah, up here, please, just in case the board has questions that are directly related. Thank you, Mr. Pollock, for being here this evening. Thank you, Mr. Nasouf. So should there be questions that need to be answered directly by the school site, they're both present here this evening. And then I have materials as well from the board has already had an opportunity to see regarding this trip.
What is the official role of the Booster Club in this venture?
The Booster Club helps keep tabs on all the students that are going. They help collect all the funds for the students that are participating. They chaperone the trip with me. That's a big part of, and they're also helping me be responsible for setting up fundraisers so the kids can afford to take this opportunity.
And then the Booster Club's response or relationship to the Board of Education is what?
I can take that one for you. So they're a separate entity. So the Booster Club is a completely different and separate entity from the Board of Education. They are there as a support for the band, but they are a separate group, although they are in existence because they support the Nogales High School Noble Regiment in this particular case. They still are even separate from the school. So they're their own nonprofit organization. They have their own 501c3. They have to provide their own audit information. Our district does meet with our booster clubs across the district to make sure that they understand the legal compliance and the work that needs to be done, and that they do provide us with their tax forms, but we do not audit them. That is outside the purview of the role and relationship. So it is separate from the board.
So then my next question would be, what are we actually voting on tonight?
So the item before you this evening is to approve a field trip. So within our board policy, it requires that the board take action to approve a trip that has certain items. First, if it's an overnight trip is one. But then if there are others that have extensive cost associated with it or travel that is in terms of the distance of travel and so forth. So we have two board policies that govern school-sponsored trips. And so the reason this item is before the board this evening is because it meets the criteria within our board policy to require board approval to proceed.
So the Booster Club, independent 501c3, is coordinating the trip, collecting the money, and facilitating the process to get the trip moving. But we're approving the trip. I'm a little confused as far as the legal responsibility if something should occur, where we're being held accountable versus the booster club being held accountable.
Sure. So this is not a booster club trip. This is a Nogales High School Noble Regiment trip. And so it's our students, and we hold the responsibility for our students and oversee the actions of our schools. And so the board is approving a trip for our students under the Nogales High School Noble Regiment. The Noble Regiment is seeking the assistance as a parent partner with the boosters to help them with the management of the work. This is not a booster trip. This is a Nogales High School Noble Regiment. So it's, in essence, it's like the PTA supports our schools, but the school has the trip or the field trip or the action or the dance, but the PTA would help support it through many hands, helping with heavy lifting.
And the other thing is that the funds that are being raised are in anticipation of 2019-2020. Mm-hmm. So it's not the students that are currently at Nogales High School. I guess there will be some coming up from intermediate school that will be eligible for this trip in 2019-2020.
Well, current sophomores will still be seniors in this year as well. And so, Brad, do you want to talk a little bit about how what students are eligible to participate in the trip?
Since it's not for a year and a half, the students that are eighth graders that will be freshmen are eligible to go, as well as the seniors that just graduated, which are one of the reasons that we got invited because of this, the work ethic and the success that we've had in the past. And so the seniors, if you know, if all their college books are paid off and they can, you know, would like to travel with us and participate and show up to the rehearsals, they're welcome to join us. It's very similar to how we were able to do the Macy's Parade a few years back.
Yeah, I don't want to get into the nitty-gritty of everything, but it's approximately, what, $3,200 to $3,800 for each student that they have to raise. If a student raises $2,800, what happens then? Does somebody make up for that difference, or that student gets his money returned to the donors that donated, or how does that work?
Well, over the years of taking trips, I almost have never experienced a student that has basically wanted to go on a trip, all of a sudden it says, because I understand it's a school function, that can't pay but is still demanding to go. It's kind of accepted that this is a, they don't have to go on this trip. This is, you know, a special thing that we get to do. It's on our holiday. And most parents that sign up on the sheet understand all the expectations of the deadlines and the fundraising that goes on. And this is a fully funded trip on their own with the assistance of myself and the boosters and the school setting up as many fundraisers as possible. And that's how they pay for it. If we get to the point, which I really have never experienced, all of a sudden a student is $1,000 short, we will find ways to help them, assist them, and show them ways that they can make that work, or we'll have to go from there. If 50 students all of a sudden come up to me and say, okay, we want to go, but we're not paying for it, well, we have another issue. But they have a little contract that they're signing that the parents and the students understand the expectations, that they fundraise, that there's dates and due dates for to turn in their money, as well as obviously just the same thing as keeping up their grades to be eligible to travel.
Okay, now we have employees going too, right, such as yourself and...
Yes, there will be employees attending as well.
Does our insurance transport over for...
Our insurance does. We do have a policy. We also have our risk manager, Ron Gray, that's in the audience if there's questions that go beyond my scope of understanding. But, yes, our insurance does cover.
Anybody who travels, students, staff, administrators, are going to be covered under the insurance policy that is a part of this trip that I've turned in.
So there's two policies. So what Mr. Pollack is speaking about is the policy of the travel agency and the travel insurance policy, but then we also have district liability insurance.
So that does cover.
Correct. Yes. Thank you, Mr. Gray.
Does cover overseas travel then?
It does. We have verified that.
Okay.
Angelina.
Okay. You stated that in your experience there hasn't been any kids who couldn't raise money to fulfill their trips and that the parents understand that. I was a booster president at Roland High School for a lot of years, and that was not my experience. So I am, as Mr. Malkin said, just very, very concerned that I know how some of the parents I dealt with, they didn't take it as seriously, you know. And if a child wants to go, I know you said that you would show them how to work it out, but is there other reserves? Are there, like, are you guys trying to raise extra money to cut cost, cut the cost down for everybody if possible, or to have an extra slush fund available to help those students cover the cost? Because, you know, if the student's been there at every function trying to fundraise, but the parent has never showed up to do anything or contribute, which happens quite frequently, then that child shouldn't suffer. They should still be able to go, I guess, is my point. So that's my question, is how are we working to accommodate those situations should they occur?
It's a good question. My boosters, we do not have a slush fund.
That's probably the wrong word. I'll retract that word. But is there extra money put aside in case of emergency need sponsorship?
Parents that
from
set
within.
Up sponsorships for students that need that extra help, and parents, as mm-hmm. long as they are involved. Mm-hmm. A big part of what we're trying to do here is also, this is a learning experience on how to travel and how to be, you know, and supportive and make sure that they are committed to what we're trying to do. We will help out as much as possible, but we do not have, like I was trying to say, if all of a sudden 30 or 40 students come up and say, hey,
right,
you need to help us.
I'm saying, like, there's two kids who just didn't raise the $3,800.
In that case, because we have had the opportunity, I know Roland and Nogales are different. You know, Nogales, we've had a lot of opportunities to travel, which has been very fortunate. We haven't had those experiences, but we have had students that maybe they couldn't make the deadlines, but they did before graduation. That's one way that we help them out, instead of saying, okay, well, it's November, we're leaving in a month, you haven't paid, you can't go. We will work with them as long as we have maybe a little contract that they're going to help pay back the booster club. But it also depends on how much money, because we wanted to keep that separate between London and what we normally, the boosters have to pay for, just so we can have our normal program at the school, since we are fully funded over there by the boosters and their fundraising.
And your booster club is a formal 501c3?
Yes.
Okay. And then in your responses to several of the questions that was put forth by the board, one of the questions was about, are you requesting money from the district for this trip? And the response was, no requests currently. Mm-hmm. Can you explain what that means?
Sure. If there's any way that we could help, I mean, in the past, I believe a board member has sponsored a student or two because they had a relationship with that student and that family, so they helped out. But I have, almost on every trip, have never requested funds from the district board. The only time that happened was we got invited to do the Macy's Parade, I believe, in 2015, and that was the same time we had lost our marketplace, which mm-hmm. was our number one fundraiser. So the board agreed to help us offset that a little bit because of that certain experience. But that's the only time that we have asked for the board to help support our program over there, especially on a trip like this.
And just
if there's a way to buy us a banner, because, you know, I don't know yet. I mean, these are great questions, but some of these come down later down the road, knowing exactly what I'm going to have for this trip, whether it's a music or a banner, how many students outside of my school are going to be participating. These are some things that we're not at that point yet.
And so I think that's one of the concerns, is that when I speak about the district, I'm not speaking of just the board, but the district fund, the district's, you know, budget, when I say about the asking for funding. And I think that's one of our concerns, is that if we approve this, and then later on, it's like, oh, wow, we need another $20,000, and we need it by, you know, this date. Where is that money going to come from? Because we did assist with the Macy's Parade, but then it also became an equity issue because we were given funding to one band without giving funding to all the other, equal funding to all the other bands in the school district. So there was a lot of lots and lots of emails and upset parents and upset boosters from other schools. And that's why I wanted clarity on that, because I don't want that to happen again. And we understood that the marketplace was disabled for a while, which impacted the budget to be able to raise the full cost for Macy's. But all the other organizations don't even have a marketplace, and they have to fundraise for all of their activities as well. So we just want to be clear on that. And that's why I ask, with the no requests currently, is there an anticipation? And Mr. Nassouf, you can feel free to jump in on that as well.
Sure. And the communication that I've had with Mr. Pollack over several times, and I included it in the proposal, that there's an understanding that we're not seeking any assistance from the school district funds. I did communicate with him that just like we assist all of our other programs, whether it's athletic or extracurricular activities and so on, we will set aside some funds specifically for this program, for this trip, specifically to support the different concerns that you brought up in terms of a student or two or several that instead of having 3,800, they raise 3,000 and so on, because we do serve a lot of students that have financial challenges. So we want them to experience it as well, and you know, we don't want money to be the only determining factor to make this a successful trip. So I did speak to him specifically several times, and Mrs. Moscow did the same thing regarding that we cannot ask for district funds. But as a school site, we will support just like we support all of our other programs.
Thank you. I think you got where I was coming from. My final question is, you guys have invited other sites to participate, which I think is fabulous, and thank you very much for doing that. And you said that they can participate in any in all fundraisers, too. Does that include that they could come and work at the marketplace to earn participation money for working an event, or their parent could?
The marketplace is completely separate. That marketplace is the is funds the program.
For the regular program.
Right now,
so
marketplace is,
what type of fundraisers are you looking at then for the trip? I know we got a couple of them in our
anything
in our
from
packet.
Candy fundraising to food benefits to I mean, we have many. There's a fundraiser I do which is called a Marchathon. We're going to try to have one which is basically just for the London rehearsal. Basically like a 10-hour rehearsal, and kids can get sponsored per hour by as many friends and family members and neighbors as possible. Besides the food, whether it's clothes, whether it's restaurants, I mean, we have, just like all the other schools that don't have a marketplace, we have to fundraise whatever it can be to try to go on this trip. And a lot of students participate, and some students don't fundraise at all, and they're just going to pay out of their own pocket.
Well, I live across the street, so I hear you guys practicing all the time. So let me know when the 10-hour marchathon is. I'll plan a barbecue that day, and you guys can provide the entertainment.
Okay. Our first one's in September.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Lynn?
Thank you for coming tonight to answer our questions. As Dr. Mitchell probably told you, we had a whole bunch of questions for you because we feel we need the answers. We have a lot of responsibility. But we do appreciate you reaching out and giving our students an opportunity like this. It's a serious responsibility, though, because we have to think about student safety. It's not a wonderful world right now. So, you know, a lot of those things go through our minds. Thank you for answering our questions. Is anybody from the district going to accompany that you know of?
Once this thing is in full motion, I would imagine a lot of people will want to go. This is something that you only get offered once every 10 to 20 years, and the opportunity is there for us. You know, it's not something that has to happen. It's just, this is something that, you know, especially for our students in our district, this is something that's never happened before, and it's something that sounds pretty neat to me.
I think we would love to have Dr. Mitchell there to answer your question. That's the answer.
All right, that's a good answer.
For the political
that's
part
a good
of it.
I was thinking we have a new assistant superintendent of Ed Services myself.
And they all came to the Macy's parade in New York when we went the last time. So there's, I would imagine there'll be, you know, not just administrators but other faculty from our own school that might want to go.
Mm-hmm. Finally, most of my questions have been answered. If someone does want to donate, do they donate it directly to the high school?
We will set up all that information on websites and emails as well as flyers. But, yes, we will have maybe GoFundMe accounts or other ways to donate. That'll all go. Everything is going to go to one central location, which is going to be through the Booster Club, to keep it all clear. It can't go through many different parents or different schools or different booster clubs. Okay. If another school is participating, which I know there was about 3 months ago, I had all the students in the district that wanted to participate. I sent it to the band directors that wanted to join us to have their parents sign it and send it back to me just so I can see if this was even possible, if there was enough interest in going. And besides my band, Nogales Band, and a handful of students from Telesis, there was about 15 to 18 students from Alvarado that were joining us. So I've already been in contact with their band director, and he knows once this whether this gets approved or not, then we'll go from there, and he's responsible for sending us, you know, the students' donations. They will be able to participate in our fundraising, but they also might have some to do on their own.
And just because of our questions, it doesn't mean we don't want you to be able to go. We just want to make certain that we have the information we need to make that decision. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Donna?
Thank you again for answering all our questions and coming back. I appreciate it. And the GoFundMe, if you have that, will they waive the fee? Because they have a fee.
They don't usually.
Because it's non-profit.
We have to find that out. We're not at that point where I've set that up yet.
Because it's terrible. They take something out, I found out. And so I hope they don't do that. That's all.
Yeah, a lot of those, you know, they help you out, but they still, that's how they make their money.
Yeah.
A little bit away, but.
For nonprofit, I heard sometimes they may waive it, but I don't know. But I wanted to say thank you. What a great opportunity that you're going to have for these kids. And you also clarified something that I was wondering about, because last week when, or 9 days ago, our last board meeting with the three kids that came up and talked about it, Miguel was one of them. And I remember him telling me that even though he's graduating, he's going to get to go. And I thought, well, why is that? He's not going to be, I know he's part of Nogales always, but then you clarified the reason why you're invited is because of those seniors that are part of that. So thank you for clarifying that. No, that's very good.
Thank you. You're welcome. It's a great for the opportunity for those students that help us with that recognition. At the same time, it's nice for the 7th and 8th graders to be a part of something.
So just for clarification, then he's no longer a student and he'll be going?
So that was the information that Mr. Pollack had just shared, is that students who have graduated from the school, he was interested in opening it up for the opportunity for a graduate to be able to attend. So if that were to occur, they would be as an independent person, like a chaperone.
Right.
So they'd be connected with the school but no longer a student. So it would be we are actually going to have to discuss that a little bit, because chaperones have to be 21 or older, and our graduates will not. So they're not going to fall into the chaperone category, and they're not going to fall under a student category. So I'm not exactly sure how we would make that happen. So before we push that too much further, we'll have to figure out where they fall.
Is it possible to get a legal opinion on this at all? Would that be appropriate?
I've spoken to the attorney about this particular trip already and provided them with information. Help me understand what specific question you'd like, because maybe I have already asked it.
There's a couple. One is, you know, we're a public institution, and everybody should have access to the same opportunities. And it's obvious that this opportunity requires the ability to raise monies.
Yes.
And if somebody can't raise the monies, they can't have access to participate in this activity.
Actually, that's incorrect. And so that is a question I've asked the attorneys. Okay. And our board policy is also very clear. Our board policy only simply reiterates what our education code says. And I can share with you that our policy reads, no student shall be prevented from taking the field trip or excursion because of lack of sufficient funds. No group is to be authorized to take a trip if a No group is to be authorized to take a field trip if a student or member will be excluded due to lack of funds. That's the education code, that's the law, and that is in our board policy.
So therefore,
the questions that Ms. Pride was asking, so if a student is unable to raise the funds but wants to participate, it would be the responsibility of the booster group, or I think that was her line of questioning in terms of finding out the student cannot be excluded by law. From participating due to lack of sufficient funds.
You know, I think the concept, I love the concept, and I think it would be a great opportunity. I just think it needs a little bit more work to make a decision on it right now. But that's just my bias on it. But I love the concept. I'm glad that you're thinking about doing something creative like this, but I still have concerns.
And I can I perhaps the questions, because, I mean, this is something that has been discussed for, not with the board. It came to the board for the first time at our last meeting. But clearly a lot of conversations that have happened at the school site, and a lot of they've been grilled for a couple months now.
No, I realize.
And I think it's appropriate. I think that needed to happen because there is a lot of liability. There's a lot of issues. There's some legal pieces. So I'm curious, though, if it would assist, if there is a specific question you have. Perhaps it's a question that's already been asked.
Well, it goes back to my original question, is that we're voting to approve this.
Yes.
And once we approve something, now we're taking on an additional responsibility. Because if something should happen, it's going to come back to the board that you approved this activity. So we're going to be the ultimate person that's going to be held responsible for this.
The actual approval right now, I mean, is, yes, for all the information that we've given, this is also just for the invitation. Bands get invited to go on this trip. We're trying to reach that point just for the invitation. It's up to myself and I'm sure the board and my school whether we even want to. This is something that we don't have to go on. This is just something that we've been invited to go on for and being recognized for how hard we work. And just to clarify something, usually this happens about a year and a half to 2 years out. So you have a lot of time to fundraise, to make everything work out, to get everybody on the same page. I mean, to go this far with this many people, with all the equipment, travel, the planes, the hotels, things need to be taken care of way in advance. The further this goes, it will be more difficult to do it on the year that this has been invited to do. Because we need 16 to 17 months to fundraise to go on this trip.
No, I fully appreciate that. And I did look up the event because I was curious when I heard about it. It's a huge event in England. I mean, the number of people that participate along the parade route and everything is phenomenal. And that's something that concerns me also. Somebody just touched on it briefly, but the situation in the world is a little bit different now than it was a couple of years ago. And that concerns me, especially in London. So I just
I would be concerned. I mean, people were concerned when we went to New York twice, 2008, let alone in 2015. Right. I can just tell you, I mean, it's going to be the most secure place, anywhere, at least for those few moments. Other than that, I can't guarantee you anything else.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a question.
Anna?
I have a question about the Ed Code. Doesn't the Ed Code say that during the school hours? Because when I went on field trips for weekends, it was different.
I know that law has changed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There's information that has changed and there's lots of parameters. But if it is a school-sponsored trip.
Thank you.
Just one more quick question, and I apologize not to beat a dead horse, but you guys have some deadlines coming up, and the first one I think is a $400 deposit. Is that correct?
I saw. I have to go back and
Look at that. Something
that
like that.
$200.
$200 or $400. There's a couple of $100 due. So I'm a mom. I lost my job. My kid is in band. They want to go. I can't afford that deposit. There's just no way right now. I need to fundraise for the deposit. What happens to me? Do I still get to get on the list as far as the go and you make arrangements with me for that deposit? Or is that something that just has to be met?
Well, it's twofold. I mean, certainly they would be on the list to go. Okay. And I would have a conversation, my booster club and maybe, you know, my principals, you know, whatever contract language we draw up for the parents to sign this. Because, like I said, we can't have all of a sudden 20 people doing that to us. Now.
Right.
If this was such a burden on everybody, I would have said thank you for the invitation, but we cannot do this.
Yeah.
I believe that we could be able to do this. I like doing big, crazy things, and we've done it before. You know, I know this is a little bit different, going a little bit further and a little bit more expensive, but the timeline and the raising of money is basically just the same. And the amount of work we have to do to pull off that show, let alone what we do here in town.
Well, I think it's an awesome opportunity, and I think you could tell from my line of questioning, my main concern is just inclusiveness, you know, keeping in mind financials. That's my biggest concern is that
mine too. I don't need the extra stress or put on my booster club either, let alone anybody else. I just wanted to see. That's why I opened this up to a lot the rest of the district, because I knew not my entire band would be able to go. Some just don't want to go.
Right.
Some don't like to travel, which is, you know, okay. But at the same time, we needed to have a certain size band to even perform there. So I opened this up to their other musicians in the district.
Okay. Thank you.
One more question. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could just give us just a brief history. You've gone to Macy's twice. You've gone to a lot of performances all over the country. Have you ever had any problems like the ones we're talking about, students who raise part of the money and they're not able to go, that type of thing?
The only problems I ran into, I wouldn't say problems, was I think I mentioned one earlier where we pushed, okay, they couldn't pay here, but they could pay by the end of the year. Okay, that was one thing we dealt with. I did have a student many years ago. We went to Florida because there's a no pass, no play. You have to be eligible to travel.
Right.
Not only with, I think, our school and our district, but our program. That's how we run things. I had a student who was failing every class, paid for Florida, expected to go to Florida. Well, I'm glad the mother helped me out and teach the daughter something, so she went instead of her daughter. Because I couldn't get her money back because it was way past the deadline, and the mother had a great time and sent her daughter pictures of Florida. Here's where you could have been. So, I hope that answered the question.
You have a good record. You have a good track record, right? That's what you're saying.
Yeah, believe me, like yes. Just through experience, we've just been able to give our kids an amazing opportunity, whether it's the Macy's, we've been in the Fiesta Bowl twice, Hawaii a couple of times, Florida twice, and the 18 years that I've been at Nogales. We've been really fortunate to do that. And the students and the parents understand the commitment. If they want to travel, this is most of them understand, and hopefully, and I don't want the word to get out, if they just come here and get in line and sign a blue piece of paper, they should be able to go on this trip for free. I'm not spreading that rumor at all.
And it's a
and
little
they all
more
understand that they should pay for this trip.
And it's a little more serious for your music students, too, your bands, than it might be for a high school group just going for fun for a trip. Most of them take it seriously and do the best they can.
Certainly, and we want to do the best we can because we're representing ourselves and our school district, and we have all the rehearsals we have to do just to even go perform there, which is time-consuming for us, the eighth graders, let alone the graduates.
Any more questions?
Yeah, I have a question for you. This is great opportunity for the kids, for them. I look at it as a reward for their hard work, for you too. And they get recognized by the Macy's Parade, London Parade, this great opportunity because of your great job, your performance. So
I just can't get us into the Rose Parade. I've tried. A lot easier.
Yeah, and also I remember Nogales was invited to the Taiwan presidential inauguration.
Yes.
That was in 1996 or 90 somewhere. So this is not the only one. So you have been invited
for a while.
Yeah. Sorry. So I have a question. I'd like to see it happen. But in case you have to cancel it, I think you have to pay a deposit to the committee.
How After much a certain point of time, yes.
Yeah. You haven't paid it yet.
Hotels and to get plane reservations.
Mm-hmm. Besides the hotel, and do you need to pay the deposit to the parade committee for a committee to go?
I don't know them a deposit just to say that we're coming.
Uh-huh.
Once, you know, the deadlines, I think, there's nothing to pay them that says that we're coming. It's only the deposits to reserve everything that we're about to do for the traveling and the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Once there's a contract drawn up, then we sign on the dotted line and say, yes, it's official, we are actually going, then we'll know all of their deadlines.
Okay. So
right now there are none, except this is the date that the parade is happening. It's up to us to say, yes, let's go for it, or maybe a year or two from now.
Okay. All right. Okay, thank you. And any more questions? All right. In the room. Or if we say aye?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Any opposed?
I oppose.
4-1, motion carries. Sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I need a motion and a second to approve the community eligibility provision CEP at 7 eligible schools within the district.
I'll move.
Donna moves.
Second.
Angelina second. Discussion? Questions? Go ahead.
Okay. I would hope that this would be only the beginning of a discussion regarding universal meals, that this is not the end of the discussion in the sense that in order to meet the requirement of the new legislation that we basically have to provide these meals over 62%, I think it is.
62.5%.
62.5%. So we need to do it, and so we need to approve these seven schools. But there's also some other schools out there that could benefit from this. And I think back when I was in elementary school, and John F. Kennedy was president, and he came out with his physical fitness program, and he felt that the youth of our nation were not healthy. And everybody got behind it, and they pushed for it, and we started doing all the tests. We had to do pull-ups and climb a rope and everything, and we sweated and we did it, and we became healthier as a result of it. And it took a lot of time out of the school day to do it, and it was great. And there was very little opposition of any, if I can remember, at the time. And I kind of see this as the same thing, that nutrition and physical activity go hand in hand. And there's been many studies that show that they both support healthy students, that support good grades in education. And I hope that this will get the same momentum as the exercise program, and that the kids will get nutritional help. You know, I go to the activities at our different schools, and especially at the high school, and we have a ways to go with some of our students. You know, some of our students could use some better nutritional training, and we're setting them up for a life later on of diabetes and other health problems. And I know that we're academically responsible for our students, but I think that goes along with an ethnic responsibility to be responsible for their physical well-being also. We talk about positive behavioral intervention supports and how to behave. We have we have physical activity in the elementary schools. And I think nutritional counseling and guidance should be a part of that program also. So I hope that later on we can get some cost estimates, what it would cost to implement this system-wide. I realize we don't have any hard numbers on that right now. But, you know, public education really isn't public education anymore. It's a business. And there's charter schools out there. There's homeschooling out there. There's private schools out there. There's district transfers. And if we don't provide, you know, what the people want in our community, they'll go find it someplace else. And we have a neighboring district that does provide universal meals to all their students. And so if that's a need that somebody has because of financial responsibility, they can very easily go to that next district next door and get those meals. And if we don't provide it, they'll do that. So I think that we need to be competitive. And to be competitive, we need to offer, you know, these types of programs. So I'm happy that we're doing it with seven schools, but I'll be happier when we can do it with 19 schools. I think there should be some secondary gains when we do it. This is a hunch, that if kids are healthier and that they're more likely to come to school. If they're more likely to come to school, we get more funding. So I think there's benefits on that. I know about a year ago we had a plan, and I mentioned it last time when we had the meeting, on how we're going to collect for those students that aren't paying their tab. And there was a series of operations they're going to do, from sending out letters to phone calls, and we discussed that briefly at that time. But I think that there's a trade-off on some work. They'll have less work to do and not have to do the collecting of the monies. The whole issue of filling out papers to justify their need has a certain stigma associated to it, even more so now than ever. that and then some families, I think, will be fearful to fill those forms out. So the easier we can make it to provide a healthy lunch, the better I think our students will be as a result of it.
I'd just add on to that that I think the fitness component would be one of the best things to add. Because I did like the program that we had way back when I was a lot younger. kids were required to do certain activities to hit certain levels. And, you know, I'd like our students to be healthy, too.
Any other questions?
I have a question, Dr. Mitchell. Is universal meal a reason for the students transfer to other district for just like a daycare? Or, I mean, is that a legitimate reason?
No, it is not, because students who are in need of a meal at free and reduced price can have that done in our district. So even though it isn't universal, it does require the form that Mr. Malkin's speaking about, but no student is denied based on need.
Yeah, as I said, that's based on need, and the trouble is that if you look at the need, a family of three, I think it's $2,000. I don't have it with me right now, but I think it's $2,000 a month for a family of three. And when you figure $2,000 a month for a family of three is not very much money nowadays, especially if you figure rent and everything else. Mm-hmm. So there are students that don't meet the need requirement based on money, but they have to make choices in their own home. Do I pay for a meal or do I pay my rent? Or do I pay for gas in my car so I can get to work? And sometimes the meal is the one that gets eliminated. So, yes, if they're eligible based on need, they will get it. But those that aren't eligible based on need, but based on family choice, they will not get it.
Any more questions?
I call for a vote. Okay. Let's vote.
All favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, next item, I need a motion and a second to approve the new position of the job description for the senior managing position of Director of Maintenance and Operations.
I'll move.
Donna, second.
Angelina, second. Discussion? All favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, can I motion and a second to approve and recommend that the Roland Unified School District Personnel Commission classify and examine the position of Director of the Maintenance and Operations as a senior management position to allow this specific position to be filled from an unranked list per Education Code Section 45256.5. Karen, motion and a second to approve the new position and the job description for the senior management position of Director of Maintenance and Operations. Donna, move. Second.
I'll second.
Lynn, second. Discussion? Questions? Favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Can I motion and another second to approve the contract agreement between the Roland Unified School District and NIC Partners Incorporated for the purchase and installation of the district-wide security camera systems?
I'll move.
Donna, move.
Second.
Lynn, second. Discussion? Questions?
Please note, this is the item that the board amended the not-to-exceed amount prior to when the agenda was adopted.
Yeah, I have one question on this one. Mm-hmm. This is the one with the Cisco system for the cloud?
For the light, for the cameras, yes.
For the cameras, right. My main question on this is that, given recent history and what happened couple of months ago at another school, with the active shooter, where the police were actually tracking the shooter based on their cameras, based on the cloud. They found out later that there was a 15-minute delay, and what they were actually doing was they were tracking the shooter, but it was where he was 15 minutes ago. And they found out that part of the problem was that when you go to HD quality on these things, that there is a delay. Mm-hmm. If you go to 720 or even 480, you get more real time.
Right.
Is that being factored into this, that this is real time cloud observation of what's occurring, so we don't end up in the same situation where there's an incident going on and we're tracking it 15 minutes afterwards?
So my my recollection of that information wasn't that it was a 15-minute delay, but that there, in fact, was a delay. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, I have not been engaged in the conversations around the level of delay and, you know, mm-hmm. whether it's going to be at the 1080 or 720 okay. in terms of that. I don't know if thank you. Phil George is here, who's been a part of these contract conversations from the start.
The resolution of these cameras are 720.
Okay.
So, and is actually real time.
Okay.
Okay, so it's basically within milliseconds, whatever you're watching coming back from the cloud is basically the time it takes to get from the camera to the cloud and back to you, which is milliseconds.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it will be real time. Okay.
Yes. Good question, Mr. Malkin.
Okay. Any questions?
No, that's it.
All favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, and then the motion and the second to receive the second reading and adopt the new board policy 5145.13, response to the immigration enforcement.
I'll move.
Donna move.
Second.
Regina, a second. Discussion? All favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Can I have a motion and a second to receive the second reading and adopt the revised board policy 5022, student and family privacy right?
I'll move.
Donna move.
Second.
Angelina second. Discussion? If we say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Go next item. I need the motion and a second to receive the second reading and adopt the revised board policy 0410.
I move. Sorry.
Okay. Non-discrimination in district programs and activities.
I move.
You move.
I'll second.
Donna, second. Discussion. All favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, the next item, and a motion and a second to receive the second reading and adopt the revised board policy 5125, student records.
I'll move.
Donna, move.
Second.
Angelina, second. Discussion. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next item. I need a motion and a second to receive the second reading and adopt the revised board policy 5111 admission.
I'll move.
Donna, move.
Second.
Angelina, second. Discussion? Questions? Favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, next is a discussion item. Discussion only to review revised board policy 5123, promotion, acceleration, retention.
I'll move.
This is a discussion.
Second.
Discussion.
Oh. No move.
There's yeah. any items.
Mm-hmm.
Any items or questions on item Q?
Discussion only.
Sorry. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I'm used to no discussion.
Sorry. All
right. Discussion. All right. Any questions or discussions, comments?
I overlooked this one, and I have a question. Originally, this was not in our packet. Did it come out later?
This one was there. Yes. This is the item where the incorrect one had been attached on the Friday view for you.
Okay.
It was attached appropriately on Monday for the Monday for when it was made public.
Right. Okay. Let's move to the second item. Next item. The next item 6R. It's also a discussion item to review new board policy 5111.1 district residency. Discussion. Questions. No questions? Okay, let's move to the next consent calendar.
If I could take some liberty, and I'm sorry, Mr. Chen, I didn't do this at first, but I would like to thank Mari Bordona for her work. She is retiring, and this is her last school board meeting, and she was super excited to be here tonight to listen to these six board policies. So she's got her retirement sash on there. She's been gallivanting around all darn day in that stash. And so I just want to thank you, Mari, for your work and for having all of this. I mean, up to the very last second, she was pushing board policies through for us. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Thank you.
That's cute.
Okay, consent calendar, and we approve all the items in consent with the exception of any items for separate discussion and action. There's no item pool, so I need the motion for the consent items.
I'll move.
Donna, move.
Second.
Angelina, second. If we say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, board member comments. Donna, you are the first.
Good evening, everyone. I can't believe two students, K through 12, not absent one day. That was wonderful. The ARA presentation was very nice, and welcome, you three. How exciting to have you part of our family. One out of 11 schools in the nation, that's really exciting. And the Citizens Bond Oversight Committee presentation was very good. She did a great job. Mari, happy retirement. And then since our last board meeting 9 days ago, I attended two events. Nogales High School graduation. It was amazing. The principal and student speeches were great. I wasn't expecting the doves to come out. It was really beautiful. Giving out the diplomas and saying congratulations and good luck and shaking half of the student body's hands was amazing. It's such a good feeling inside. I feel so proud. Every single student, it's what we always want. That's one of the big perks of being a board member. It really is nice. I know that they did really good, and it'll be a memory I won't forget. Today I visited a music summer camp at Hurley Elementary. Roseanne Forget, music teacher, runs it. She fundraises and raises all the money for it, and she has 87 students this year. And I was very impressed. This is the third year I got to see it in action. And teachers commented about noticing their music background from our music that we have every week with our students, which was a very good thing. I went to the Wee Ones class where parents were there with the students that were not school age. Actually, they're not students. They're too little. And they were dancing around, singing, and everything. It was really cute. Our music program is working, and students from other schools are attending, not just the ones from Hurley. There were many volunteers. In fact, this one student is a senior from Nogales High School. Her name was Maria, and she used to go to the music summer camp, and now she comes back and volunteers. And I want to wish you again another happy summer vacation, whether it's long or short, to enjoy it. Thank you.
Lynn?
Thank you. Well, the year end has come, and I think a lot of people are ready to take off to places unknown. But I want to welcome our new hires, our new transfers, whatever you want to call this. But it'll be nice to see some new faces and some familiar ones wearing different hats. So congratulations to all three of you. The other thing that comes to mind is I'm liable to put a nickel jar up here, so every time somebody says Oswald instead of Oswald, and tonight I think it was perfect. I didn't hear any mispronunciation, so it's Oswald. It's been a good year. I was happy to see all our students do such a good job. $5 million and counting more in scholarships and grants. That's fabulous for our students. And many more going on to trade schools. And some of these grants and scholarships are applied to trade schools or to a career they want to go into. But I hope you all have a great summer. And Mari, we'll miss you. Good luck to you.
Angelina?
Thank you. Again, welcome to all of our new hires and rehires. I welcome you to the district, and I look forward to getting to know each of you better, and Kevin, just hanging out with you some more. And I know that all of you will do a great job, and you really have, to our new to the district people, you really have chosen a phenomenal district to come work for. So just throwing that out there. Mari, thank you so much for all of your work and dedication to the district and our students, and for putting up with all the questions from the board. We appreciate it, and I hope that you're planning to go and enjoy retirement on a nice beach somewhere. So
tomorrow she's going to Spain.
I'll meet you at the airport. And then to our CBLC member again, who was here to give a presentation, I think I said it fully, but I do just want to thank her again because she is doing a phenomenal job, and she will not resign. We will not allow her to resign until she terms out. The Nogales graduation, I was with Ms. Friedman at the Nogales graduation. It was a great event, as always, but some of you left too early because the best part of it was after the graduation. I tell you, the Nogales people know how to party after a graduation. They had a haka. They had a banda band there. It was incredible. So, of course, I had to join in, had to dance a little bit before I left. And then as I was walking home, there were still people on La Puente Road just stopping and singing and dancing and celebrating. So I had to stop and talk to them, too. So I think I didn't end up getting home till close to 8 o'clock after all of that. So it was quite the party. But it was a celebratory event. They had reason to celebrate. They worked hard. They achieved their diploma, and now they're moving on to their next step. And so it was nice to be able to take that moment to share in their joy and celebration. Also, I just want to wish all of you who have time off during the summer to enjoy your summer and think about those of us who don't as we're still here working hard for our students. So enjoy, and thank you all for all your hard work throughout this past school year, and I look forward to working with you this next school year.
As I said in the past, I think the ultimate outcome of a district is graduation, seeing our students progress through the 12 years, some without ever being absent, which amazes me how they did that, and graduating, either going on into the military, into the work world, or going on to a transitional college, or going on to a four-year college, or whatever. That's the ultimate outcome. And to be able to see this this year over at Santana was really a privilege. I tell you, it's hard to sit on that stage and listen to the students that spoke. And it wasn't just the valedictorian. They had several other students that spoke. There wasn't a dry eye in that room. These kids have overcome burdens that we should never have to overcome as an adult. And these kids have, you know, overcome these at an early age. And to see that they have now become successful and are on the right path now to be role models for their children, and some of them do have children already. It was just amazing to watch and to listen to. So, I mean, I've been to the other graduations, and they are, like you said, over in Nogales, they really do know how to party over there. And but I tell you, Santana, they might not party, but they party in their heart, and to see that was really something. I really appreciate being able to go there and see that. And I want to welcome all the new hirees. And Mari, good luck to you. And I hope that the discussions that we have here on the board, even though we might not always agree with each other, whether during discussion or at time of vote, that we grow as a unit, we're stronger because of that discussion, and that if we just came up and we all said the same thing and voted the same way, I think we'd become a stagnant school district. So I think difference of opinion, discussing those differences, and voting from what is in the bottom of our heart is what's important, that we end up becoming a stronger district as a reason for that. And everybody have a good summer, and we'll be here in July if you want to come here.
Yeah, before my comments, and I need to go back and insert one item we missed, that item 8A, and that's a conference section. It was not on the list. Item 8A, a notice of upcoming public hearing, July 26, 2018, tentative agreement between the Roland Unified School District and California School Employees Association, CSEA, Chapter 133. So try to add that. So, okay, my comments. So Lynn and I attend the Roland High School graduation, and we enjoyed it, and that was a great moment to see the students move this Tesla from one side to the other side. That was I do remember many, many years ago, my graduation, I moved my Tesla, and that indicating the 12 years or 13 years of hard work, and now you step onto the new world in the future. And the Roland High School students things doing so well. I look at their list, the list of the schools they are, the colleges you are going to be, or the, and that is, military, private school, public school, vocational school, and wherever they fit them, and they will go into and start another stage of learning to learn what they enjoy, and that will be their starting of the career, a new life. So right after the graduation, and I received the phone calls from their parents, and it's telling me, Carrie, Roland has been so well. And I see the other district, they put their kids' achievement on the newspaper and put it in the big news. Why, Roland, we are doing much better than that district. We're doing very well too. So why we don't put a big news and advertise us and brand on a paper and telling everybody we are doing very well. So I do believe that we're doing very, very well, and we do much better than our neighboring school than we are. So we contact Gina and we get a data. I hope in a few days we'll put our achievement to the newspaper and tell everybody we're doing so well. Right. So yeah, congratulations for all the graduates, and also welcome Kevin, Shana, and Maddie. Good luck, and wish you enjoy your new job and successful in your new job. Thank you. And Mari, thank you for your good work, and wish you enjoy your retired life. And I wish I can retire soon and and join the retirees to Europe. So one more thing is June is Father's Day. So
that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the fathers, okay. Yeah,
that's
Sunday.
Okay.
Don't forget it. Yeah. All right. Okay, I need a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I move we adjourn.
Anna move. Lynn first, and just Donna second. All favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Thank you. All
right.
Adjourn at 7:52.
Right.